Hey, this is Dan, one of the pastors at Racine Bible Church. You're listening to a sermon from our Advent series titled, Adore.
The big picture of salvation, really in some ways the most important thing for us to understand about salvation, is that when God announced salvation, he did not announce that it was time for all of us to huddle together and figure out how we can do it. The message of salvation is a message of great joy, because the message is that Jesus saves. All of our efforts, all of our ideas, all of our everything can't do it. Only Jesus saves. I love it when the children get to sing to us and when the children get to read scripture to us. Because this is another reminder that the power of the message doesn't come from the training or the elocution of the messenger. It comes from the substance of the word of God. There was nothing. God spoke, and everything was. I love it when the children are up here, because it reminds us that Jesus said there's something we have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven. Though it's by grace, though it's not by works, what we have to do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven is to become like little children, to become humble, to become receptive, to listen, to trust. This is what it's all about. Our series for Advent has been titled Adore, and Darren and Dan began the series for the last 3 weeks. Amy and I were able to get away for a little bit of a holiday. Our copy of that Adore booklet, I hope you're all using that Adore booklet of devotionals. Ours has probably, maybe somebody took theirs further than we did, but we took ours through the Straits of Gibraltar, so there's that. But every day's scripture reading is focusing on Jesus Christ and how the message of salvation is not that we huddle together and build ourselves up, but the message of salvation is that he humbled himself to come down to save us. I listened to Darren's sermon from 3 weeks ago while we were on the boat, and I really appreciated what Darren said. He said that when the Magi bowed down before the baby, what stood out to me was, Darren said, you cannot worship Jesus while you're clinging to your own respectability. That to worship is to humbly adore someone who is infinitely greater than you. And we're all striving and we're all trying to find something, and we finally have to realize that the great freedom that we're seeking is freedom from that egocentricity of trying to be somebody and be something. We have to allow that we're empty and Jesus is everything. And then I listened to Dan's message, two messages from Isaiah in the airplane on the way home when we left 95 degree weather to land in the freezing rain of O'Hare. I'm not bitter. I am thankful. But Dan's two messages from Isaiah were so powerful. He told us of how great Jesus is and how those Old Testament prophecies, in a way unique to all the genres of Scripture, those Old Testament prophecies show us who Jesus is. And Dan challenged us not to make Jesus number one in our life. As if we have a big life with lots of priorities and Jesus is the top priority. Dan specifically challenged me when I listened to it, not to make Jesus number one in my life, but to blow that whole paradigm up and to say Jesus is my life. He's not a thing that gets a little more support and a little more credit than a bunch of other things. He is the thing. He is life. And everything else flows from him. And this morning, I want to continue that theme with a couple of reasons to adore Jesus that would come right here out of Hebrews chapter 10. If you've got a Bible, you can open it up to Hebrews chapter 10. If you didn't bring a Bible and you want to look for yourself, there's usually a Bible in about every other chair. And Hebrews If you don't know where it is, it's just maybe five books from the back of the Bible. So the easiest way to get there would be to start in the back and just flip till you get to Hebrews. And we'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 14. And you know, the ministry that we want to see happen this morning is not a ministry that can be manufactured by women and men. It's the ministry of the very Spirit of God. So it is always good to pray when we open God's word. So let's pray together. Holy Spirit of the living God, I believe that you're here. I know that you're here. And I ask you now, the same way that you inspired this holy word, in this moment, would you illumine the minds and the hearts that are here that we might receive it? Holy Spirit, we are way too proud to receive your word. Humble us. Holy Spirit, we think we're way too wise for the foolishness of the cross. Obliterate our wisdom. Show us its emptiness. And in its place, show us the marvelous good news of an infant, of a man baptized in the Jordan, of a man crucified between thieves, of a dead body rolled into a stone tomb, and of a glorified, risen, ascended Jesus. Show us Jesus and help us to trust in him. Amen. Amen. I'll read from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 down through verse 14. Book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 10, verse 1, says, "For since the law was but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of those realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings,' these were offered according to the law. Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies will be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." A couple of things stand out to me from the reading of that passage of Holy Scripture. First thing that stands out is that the term body shows up several times. In fact, in the quotation from Psalm 40, we have ostensibly a human being saying to God, "You have prepared a body for me." What's that all about? And the other thing that stands out to me from the reading of that passage is that instead of finding the word salvation multiple times, we find the word sanctification or the word sanctified multiple times. And that's interesting too. Just to plow in briefly into, look at verse 10. It says, "And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see that in verse 10? And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It says, we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now, sanctified is kind of a churchy word. What does that word mean? To be sanctified means to be made clean. It means to be made pure. It means, in the ultimate sense, to be made holy, to be made like God. To be sanctified in the ultimate sense means to be so holy and clean and pure and even, so to speak, godlike, that the perfectly sanctified ones belong in heaven's beauty, where there's no sin, where there's no flaw, where there's no evil, where there's no wickedness. The perfectly sanctified ones belong in heaven's beautiful, flawless splendor. That's what it means to be right with God. And the idea there of verse 10 is that when or if we would become Christians, when or if we would become those who are in Christ, the idea is that those who are in Christ are so identified with Christ, so transformed by Christ, so counted as Christ, that just as Christ belongs in heaven's beautiful splendor of flawless holiness and love and peace and joy, so those who are in Christ belong there as well. Now, the story of Scripture is that no human being has ever been completely sanctified. Not Adam after he sinned, not Eve after she sinned, not Moses, not Rahab, not David, not Peter, not Mary. No human being's ever been perfectly sanctified. And yet this verse says that by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It goes so far as to say in verse 14, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. This is kind of strange, but it's kind of awesome news when we get into it. How it says it in verse 10, if you'd allow me even to point out the word through in verse 10, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This, at the bottom line, this is the message of salvation. We're not saved through going to church. We're not saved through obeying the Ten Commandments. We're not saved through this, that, or the other thing. The text says it very explicitly in that through clause. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The body of Jesus Christ is what we celebrate in Christmas, that God took on flesh, Emmanuel. It came up in the testimonies that we saw in the video, in the songs that we sang, that Emmanuel is God with us, God in our flesh. This is the wonder of the incarnation. And it says there in verse 10 that those who are in Christ have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, if to be sanctified means to be sinless and clean, question, do you feel sanctified? Do you feel sinless and clean? I know the answer to that question is no, because I ask myself that question. Do I feel perfectly sanctified and sinless and clean? And the answer is no. I know some of you pretty well, and I could use this microphone to talk about your sin, but I won't. I'll use it to talk about mine. We just got back from vacation. You know what I took with me on vacation besides some sunscreen? My sin. We left the cold, and we're in a beautiful sunny place, and our accommodations are really comfortable. And the food that's prepared for us, I didn't do any shopping, I didn't do any cooking, I didn't do any dishes. The food that's prepared for us is all so good. And in this perfect environment, almost perfect environment, I still managed to grumble and complain and be impatient and be anxious and be not fun to be around for the people around me. Well, then after holiday and vacation, we came back and I was relaxed. My blood pressure went down a little bit every day on vacation. I came home relaxed and happy. I was eager to get back into the office and get back to the ebb and flow of ministry and my calling. And I came back to the office relaxed, ready to go. And my first day back in the office, guess what I brought back into the office with me? My sin. I have to mediate difficulties in my job. And the problem is I make those difficulties worse when I bring my flesh into trying to mediate them. And I did that. There's so much sin in us and so much sin around us. How can God's word, which is supposedly inerrant and flawless, say in Hebrews 10, verse 10, that somebody like me has been perfectly sanctified? It seems impossible. But the answer is right there in Hebrews 10, verse 10, that we have been sanctified not through our ability to reform ourselves, but we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You see it again in verse 12. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. My sins have been sacrificed for. My sins have been paid for. My sins have been rolled off of me and onto my substitute, because that's what verse 12 says. That's what verse 10 says. That's what Psalm 40 predicts. Verse 14 goes so far as to say that we've been made perfect. He's perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Perfection in Hebrews is the idea that our sins are totally removed and our sins are completely forgiven. And what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14 is saying is precisely this. We're perfect not because of ourselves, but because of Christ. Not because of what we've done, that's only imperfect, but because of what he has done, what Christ has done for us. Herein is our confidence. Not in ourselves, but in our Savior. Not in what we have done, but in what he has done on our behalf. When I look at myself, when I'm on vacation, I see a big mess. When I look at myself, when I'm back from vacation, back in my role and my calling, I see a big mess. But when I look at my Savior, I see someone who's like me in that he's a human being, but who is so unlike me in that he is sinless and he's perfectly sanctified and he does the will of God perfectly where I never could, where I never could. If you are in Christ, not if you identify as a Christian, but if you are actually in Christ by grace through faith, if you are in Christ, then when God looks at you, he sees the perfection of Jesus. And he says you belong in heaven's flawless, beautiful holiness. How did this happen? How did this happen? Hebrews 10, if you see it, maybe if your Bible's printed like mine is, verses 5 and 6 and 7, the font is a little different and it's centered on the page. That's because it's a quotation from the Old Testament. And it's a quote from Psalm 40. And what it says there is consequently, verse 5, consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings, you've taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. How did this happen? Well, Psalm 40 actually has Jesus saying, when I leave heaven to enter the earth and fulfill this salvation and sanctify my people, God has prepared a body for me to carry out that ministry in, for me to carry out that salvation mission in. And it says there specifically in Psalm 40, the Son says to the Father, you haven't asked me to offer sacrifices. He's explicit about that. He says, you haven't asked me to bring sacrifices. You have prepared a body for me, for I am the sacrifice. When the Son entered the world, the body that the Father prepared for him was the body prepared as a sacrifice. In Psalm 40, I love how Psalm 40 is applied to Jesus here in Hebrews chapter 10. We don't even have close to time to get into it. We're just about done. But you ever seen a nature show on Discovery Channel? Like they show you about the ecosystem in the rainforest, and like every little butterfly and every little flower is like connected to every other one in this awesome ecosystem. It's amazing. Did you know that the scripture that tells the story of Jesus is an ecosystem that is profoundly more interconnected and more complex than any earthly ecosystem? And every scripture, Psalm 40 is like Psalm 8. It's a psalm about the idealization of humanity. Psalm 40 has an original referent, maybe to Adam in creation. It has a historical referent to David in his kingdom. It's a psalm of David. It has a prototypical referent. It has an ultimate referent, and we would say an eschatological referent or a final fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, it says to God, you have not desired sacrifices. What does that mean? God commanded sacrifices, and thousands of sacrifices were carried out in obedience to God. What does it mean you don't desire sacrifices? Well, it probably means a few things. One of the things it probably means is that in addition to the fact that God wanted the heart, not the external trappings, it means that none of those sacrifices were what God ultimately desired. His desire from before the foundation of the world was to sanctify us by preparing a body for his only Son, begotten, not made, eternal, yet human. And then in that body, he would be sacrificed for us. Hebrews 10 goes on to quote the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, where it says the law of God is written on our heart. Again, there's multiple reference there. Of once we're saved, then the Spirit of God writes the law of God on our hearts and we get to walk with God. But the ultimate fulfillment, the eschatological fulfillment of that is none other than Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the only human in whose heart ever was perfectly written the law of God, and he delighted to do God's will every day of his life. So when it says that I am perfectly sanctified, the only way for that to be true of me is if I'm in Christ, for only he has perfectly done the will of God. And so I'm pleading with you, are you in Christ? Not have you said you're a Christian, not have you felt warm about religious things, but have you trusted in, have you believed in, have you cast yourself upon Jesus Christ for salvation? This is the good news of the gospel. And this alone is good tidings of great joy. There's a lot to be joyful about. Our kids actually tonight, late tonight, Lord willing, our son-in-law and daughter and grandbaby will land, and then our two sons will come back and our whole family will be together for Christmas. And it'll be great. We'll laugh and we'll make fun of each other in a good-natured way, and we'll have a lot of joy in our family at Christmas. But you know what? There will also be sin. Our family's not perfectly sanctified. There'll be pain. There'll be pain in our family this Christmas. There will be in yours too. Our hope is not in these little snapshots of flawlessness that we can achieve in this life. It's not going to happen. But my hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ has sanctified me through the offering of his body once for all. That when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And that by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. This is the great news of salvation. And it's open and here for everybody. Come, let us adore him. For he came down to where we are so that he could bring us up to where he is. Come, let us adore him. For he, the perfectly sanctified one who perfectly obeyed the law of God, came down here and took all of our sin, took all of our disobedience and all of our failure, and gave us his perfect sanctification so that we, as he ascends back to heaven, could belong in heaven with him. Come, let us adore him. For he humbled himself down to where we are so that he could exalt us up to where he is. Let's pray. We bow for prayer. Let me lead you in prayer. If you are in Christ, then make this your prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, I adore you. Lord Jesus, I worship you. I look within and I see all of my sin, but I look at you and I know that by grace through faith, I'm counted as perfectly sanctified. What a glorious gift. How I worship you, Lord Jesus. Make that your prayer. And if you are here with us this morning and you are not in Christ, I want to ask you to make this your prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm not right, but I know that you are. Heavenly Father, I don't believe that I can fix myself. But Heavenly Father, having heard your gospel proclaimed in this church service, I believe that you can save me. And so, Heavenly Father, would you place me in Christ, so that all of my sin is nailed to his cross and all of his perfect righteousness is mine, not by works, but by grace through faith. Oh God, help me to believe in Jesus. Heavenly Father, hear your children, young and old, as they pray, and hearing them, bless. For Jesus' sake, amen.
To find out more about our ministry, contact us at racinebible.org. Thanks for listening.